Let's turn to 2 Samuel 19 tonight. Tonight, we're going to be talking about welcoming Jesus anew into our heart, in our soul, at the control center of our life. Every day, we are to welcome Him. And many days, we are like the people in 2 Samuel 19, who, like Shimei, rejected the king, cursed the king. Hopefully, you're not doing any of that. But maybe you're like Mephibosheth and you're making excuses about why you didn't go with the king. We're going to read about that. And all people, both faithful and unfaithful, he welcomed back into his kingdom as they welcomed him back as their king. You know, God is a gracious God, isn't he? He loves you. And he loves you more than you can imagine. More than I can imagine. And we ought to stop what we're doing often and think about the infinite love of God. And you know what happens in our lives when we do that? All the pettiness goes away. And we begin covering with love all of the things that usually annoy us. And then we start wanting the presence of the Lord because it's so satisfying. The people wanted David to reign over them. And as believers, that's what we want. We want Jesus Christ to reign over us. So we're going to be looking at this tonight, and I want us to first begin with a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight and that you would encourage the people that you have loved with an everlasting love. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight without Christ, Lord, that they would see a glimpse of your love and the kindness of God would lead them to repentance. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the purpose of this message and what I hope to accomplish is that we would have the sense that we had when we were first saved. Remember, Jesus says in the book of Revelation that we're to return to our first love. I don't think in our church that we lack knowledge. We have all kinds of knowledge. And I've been to many, many churches, and you know me. When I was on the mission field, I would inquire all the missionaries, ask them the hardest theological questions. And you may not agree with me on everything theologically, but you know that I love the Word of God and I'm diligent to study it and I have to preach what is there, not what's popular, not what's the in thing, but what's here. And I think you have that hunger and thirst too. We all have that knowledge of the Word of God and I think we've filled our hearts with it. But I think what we need renewal in and what Jesus knew all of his churches, at least the seven that were in Asia Minor, needed, was they needed a constant renewal of that love. Don't you need a renewal of the love of God in your heart tonight? I know I do. I've got the knowledge, but I wanted that knowledge to make me love Jesus more, not just to make me more wise, biblically. So tonight we're going to see that this love comes by living close to Christ. This love comes by getting with Christ and letting Him rule and reign in our hearts. And we're going to see what that zeal and that enthusiasm and that love look like in the lives of three people in David's life. Because the way they reacted to David is the way we ought to react to Jesus Christ. But thirdly, what we're going to see is something awesome, something amazing, and that is not how we act to Christ. There's so much about that, and rightly so, because we need to make Him the Lord every day of our life. But what we're going to see is the remarkable heart that God has for us. We talk so much about giving our heart and our life and our soul to Jesus, but God has given His heart to you. And so first, I really want to encourage you today, if you're going through an affliction, if you're struggling like I am every single day in spiritual warfare, we all have a tendency to fall asleep at the most important hours. We all have our naps at Gethsemane, don't we? And we tend to sink in the water instead of walking on it, instead of looking at Jesus and walking above all of the things that go against us in this world. We need to restore our love to Jesus more than we had when we were first saved. We didn't know enough to be offended at people. We didn't know enough to get irked at this or that. We were just so happy that Jesus saved us. Nothing in the world mattered. Are you like that today? I want you to rekindle your first love, not just today, but tonight and when you wake up tomorrow. And just imagine yourself as a new believer and never think that you've arrived. Always as a child, always as a babe. So there is real hope and a real need tonight for this message. James says, draw nigh to God, and then what will He do? He will draw nigh to you, but you need to draw nigh to Him. And you say, well, I don't have enough faith to draw nigh to Him. I don't have enough time to draw nigh to Him. It goes on and on. Well, take what you have and draw nigh to Him as you are right now. Sins, burdens, busyness, and go to Him. Even in your heart, as I'm preaching, you pray in your heart, Lord, give me a love for You that I maybe had once before. Maybe I had it for a long time and I've dulled my love. My love is not what it used to be. It's not what it ought to be. God, renew my love. How can we do that? Well, I want you to see what it looks like in this chapter, 2 Samuel 19. We come to Shimei. You remember Shimei from a few chapters before? What did he do? Do you remember what he did? What did Shimei do to David? Someone tell me. He cursed David. When did he curse David? At his strongest moment or at his weakest moment? At his weakest moment, when he was leaving, when he had already lost the kingdom. Is that unforgivable? In our world it is. But we're going to see that it's not so in God's world. God will forgive us. But before we see that, I want you to see Shimei's attitude. And this is the attitude that we ought to have towards God. It's the attitude of a new believer, but it ought to be the attitude of an old believer. Shimei, in him we see absolute surrender. With Mephibosheth, we're going to see unusual sacrifice. And then in Barzillai, we're going to see an unwavering service to David. Well, here we see in Shimei, remember that he didn't deserve David's favor. The only way he knew that he could stay alive in David's restored kingdom was to come to terms with David. And that meant absolute surrender to the mercy of David, because Shimei deserved to die. Andrew Murray said this about the Christian: the condition for obtaining God's full blessing is absolute surrender to Him. Do you notice how David deals with his enemies? He deals with them graciously and mercifully if they come to him in surrender. And you'll see that in the whole life of David. Even if they don't come to him in surrender, he still deals with them graciously. And God is that way with us. Even when we're fighting against Him, He still pursues us. He loves us. He goes as the good shepherd to the end of that mountain range to find that lost sheep and to take it back in His arms. How about you? I want to say each of your names tonight, you know. How about you? I want to look at each one of you and just say, how about you today? How about you today at work? How about you today with your children? How about you today with your spouse, with friends that you were around? You absolutely surrendered to the Lord? Have you gone to Him for the rich mercy and grace that He has? Or is something bothering you in your conscience? Well, Shimei had no other option. He had rebelled against the sovereign of the land. You know, in salvation, that's how it is with us. We've all rebelled against the sovereign of the universe, and we all deserve to die. And the only option that we have is that we bow in absolute surrender to Him here, or bow to Him in absolute surrender on the great day of God our Savior, Paul says. Have you cursed God with your life? What if God added up your sins before you were saved? There would be no way that you could pay for them. Are you still thrilled that God saved you? That He forgave you of all your sins? What about all the sins that you've sinned since you were a believer? How about the sins that you sin today? Aren't you glad that God is gracious and merciful? He wants something from you, though. He's given all to you. He wants your whole heart. That's why you were created. Creation itself is surrendered to God. The sparrow sings for God. The trees grow for God. The whole creation, if you read the Psalms, they shout out to God, because every time the sun rises, it's praise and glory to God. And it never misses, and it's totally consistent. I want you to see the cry of surrender here in verse 21 from Shimei. Let not, my Lord, impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. This is amazing what Shimei says here. We see him talking about imputation here on a person-to-person level. You know, in your house, have you ever said, I apologize, I'm sorry? There is forgiveness there on some level, but it's not as clear as what the Bible says. When we forgive, we impute their sin away. It's gone. It's thrown out of the account. We don't impute their sin to themselves. We forgive them. And this is what Shimei says, David, don't account my sins to me. Just forgive them. Wipe them away. That's what God does for us, isn't it? He says, I'll remember your sins no more. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far will I remove your transgressions from you. David, I love this in Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? Don't you want this confidence that you are forgiven? I'm talking on a constant daily basis, that wonderful walk with Jesus, that abiding in Him. Don't you want that peace with God at all hours of the day? Don't you want to wake up in the morning, every morning, and hopefully you're seeing some of this, but we don't see it as we want completely until we get to glory? You wake up and there's nothing burdening you on your heart. Just praise to God, even though you may have a busy day, even though you may have a burdensome day. God has just lifted that burden because you're walking with Him. But you know, on the days that you're not walking with Him, you go to sleep and you've not read His Word, you've not prayed, and you wake up the next day and the burdens of the world seem so much heavier. You have a conflict with someone, even if it's a minor conflict, disagreement, maybe at work, maybe at home, and you begin to get bitter. You begin to carry it. It's too much. Everything's over magnified because you don't have a heart of surrender. We all need that heart. What is surrender? Well, it's giving ourselves into the control of another. That's what Shimei did. He gave himself completely to David's mercy. And that's how we are to come to God. That means, even as Moses said, and as it says throughout the Bible, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, that's our affections, all of our soul, that's our spiritual life, all of our mind, that's our intellect, and all of our might, that's our strength, that's everything that I do in this body. So what kind of surrender is it? It's a full surrender. God doesn't like King Saul's. King Saul said, you know, let's go worship the Lord together. And they sacrificed. But they didn't do it in the way that God wanted. It wasn't full obedience. He didn't obey God in what He told him to do, neither in his worship to God. He did everything halfway. Now, how many of you struggle with that? I do. I'm seeing little victories. I'm asking God, and you've been asking God to help me. Keep asking. Do you struggle with that? With a lack of total surrender in your life? I want Him to have my affections, my spiritual life, my intellect, and everything that I do in my body. And God expects full surrender. I just told you that the whole creation, every day, they are surrendering under the control of the Creator. And the only people in God's universe that don't do that are demons and human beings. We don't surrender to God every time we want our own way instead of God's way. Every time that we think we'll ask forgiveness later, we are rebelling. And we lack all the blessing of God in our life because of it. You know, there's coming a day of full and absolute surrender when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And at that moment, everything in creation will be surrendered to Him, and even His enemies will be under His feet. Now, I want you to turn over to Revelation 6 just to see this. Because I don't believe that we as Christians even take this seriously as we ought to. I mean, this world is going to be gone, and it might be tonight. And I don't think we live with that reality. At least I don't, as I should, and I'm concerned about that. Look at Revelation 6, verse 14. It says there's this day that's coming, and John sees it on the Isle of Patmos, and he says, speaking of the last day, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, that's a slave, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. And what does it say? Who shall be able to stand? Remember last week, our president goes to Japan. And what did he do before the emperor of Japan? He bowed. Why was that a no-no? Because presidents of the United States do not bow to foreign dignitaries. But I will tell you that every president and every king and every emperor and everyone in authority of the highest places will bow before King Jesus when he comes again. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Now what about you? We have the opportunity, the joyous opportunity, to bow to him in friendship, to bow to him as our King and our friend and our God and our Father, and we are his sons and daughters. And we're not rebels being made to bow before his throne. We're his friends. And he calls us to full surrender. I want you to think about this. Does a king usually wait on his servants, or do the servants wait on the king? The servants wait on the king. But listen, God is waiting on you, Christian. He's waiting on you as a servant. He has condescended in his humility. He's bowed down his ear, as David says. And he has condescended to you tonight. And he says, sup with me. Eat with me. Just as David did to Mephibosheth. I'm not asking you to get down on your knees. I'm not talking about outward posture. About your heart. Where's your heart? Where are your affections? What are you waiting for after this is done? What are you looking forward to tomorrow? Is it your Bible or is it something else? Is it his presence? Or are there a list of things that you just can't wait to do because if you knock those out, you'll be happy? No, you won't be happy. You'll have 10,000 other things to do. And you'll be a slave to this world as everyone else is. But God says you've been set free. Forget the slavery. You've been set free. Jesus has died in your place so that you can be free to worship the Lord. And that's what you were created for. Get in line with the rest of creation and surrender fully to his authority and to his control. In your mind, in your strength, everything that you have and everything that you are. Now, you say, I know all this is true. I've learned it since I was a babe in Christ. Of course you know that God wants your full surrender. But as soon as you get out of here, if you're a young mother, your babies are going to start crying. If you have your family grown, there are all kinds of responsibilities that are going to yank you the moment that you close this Bible. And how do you get from the ideal, which is in the Word of God, to the practical, which is where we live? How do we walk with God in the circus, in the vanity fair? How do we do it? Well, first of all, realize that it is not your strength that does it. Remember Zechariah 4:6? Not by might, that is, the might of armies, of numbers, sheer strength, nor by power, that is, individual human strength, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What did Jesus say in John 15:5? Without me, then you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You cannot live this life in your own strength. You cannot figure out how to balance your life and walking with Christ in that life. All those responsibilities. Well, how do you do it? Philippians 2 and verse 12. He tells us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know what we usually do? We work out our own salvation with anxiety and with guilt. But fear and trembling is a result of spending time with God, realizing, as it says in the next verse, that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, when I get up off my knees from my devotions, I feel that sense of fear and trembling because I have let go of every carnal means of living for that day. I've come to a full surrender. Now, 5 minutes from then, I might be so weak and inconsistent, but immediately I have to get up again. And in a few weeks, I'm going to be preaching a message on how the righteous man gets up 7 times after he falls. That's what we have to do. It's constantly not, I got to do this, 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 and this. No, I got to go to Christ. It's Christ. He's alive. He's alive. Amen. He's in your heart. He's there. He's never left you, and He'll never forsake you. He's there. And your mind may have wandered, but He's there waiting on you. He's there. He loves you. He's loved you with an everlasting love. And so go back to Him immediately. Don't wait. Run to Him. You're not going to do it in your own power. It's God that works to will and do of His good pleasure. Now, are you in your life not surrendered? Let's get down into your heart. Are you cherishing a sin in your life? A pleasure? It may be vanity. It may be some useless form of entertainment that really does not edify you. It may be gossip. You may get your druthers about finding out every nitty-gritty little thing. And we all have that in us, so I'm not talking to just you. I'm talking to me too. Gossip. Are you struggling with that? Are you nursing some bitterness tonight? Have you a grudge against a friend, a spouse, a family member? Maybe it happened this week. Maybe it happened a month ago. You know you got bitterness when you remember it regularly, and it keeps coming back, and you don't have that communication with that person anymore. It's stopped. It's uncomfortable. Do you have a clear conscience in that area? Are you prideful in your words? Do you say, like I do, we all struggle with this, do you say too much? Do you say too little? Are these things on your mind? Have you gotten them right? Have you gone to the Lord? Are you stubborn in your attitude? God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Are you selfish and narcissistic and self-centered like our culture pushes us to be? Are you in that mold? And forgetting about the needs of others, forgetting to call others that need your encouragement. Do you know how great encouragement is? It is something that you chew on for weeks. When somebody writes me a letter and says, I appreciate what you've done, or writes me an email. The other day, one of you sent me a recommendation on LinkedIn, and it encouraged me. All these little things, encouragement is important, isn't it? And you chew on it. But maybe you're not doing that. You're not serving others. And you're sinning against the Lord, who loves you, who's waiting on you for full surrender. Perhaps some of you men love the Chicago Bears, football. And you set aside, not during church time, because you're faithful to God's local church, but you TiVo it, you know it, you know who you are, and you watch it, and you have, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like to do that too when I have the time. But you do have time. I'm just trying to establish that. You have time. And all of you seem to eat pretty well, as I do. You all are eating every day, usually 2 to 3 meals a day. I would say the majority of you, 2 to 3 meals a day, and then some snacks on the side, right? Now, I wonder if we calculated just your day, how much you spent time in eating, how much that would be, how much that would calculate to be. I wonder how much time that would be. And so, you know, we have our excuses of why we know we can't fully surrender to Christ without going to Christ. We can't fully surrender to Christ without the prayer closet. We cannot fully surrender to Christ without the Word of God. Our hearts are too rebellious. We have to bring our hearts into subjection to the Word. We just read it. We read the Word, and all of a sudden, we're convicted by the Spirit. And the Spirit's power brings us to full surrender. God Himself accomplishes it in us through the Word, through prayer, through cleansing and confession of sin. And all that comes to mind as we're reading God's Word, as we're reaching out to Him, not just with our words. No, that doesn't matter. Our heart is turned to Him. And so you say, well, I don't have time to fully surrender to the Lord because I just don't have time to get in the prayer closet. Well, how about you fast for one meal? I'm not even asking you to fast for a whole day. But what about going tomorrow night, tonight, before you go to bed, you're going to have this snack. How about skipping the snack, going and spending 5 minutes in the prayer closet tonight? How about 10? You know, God gives us 24 hours. Isn't He gracious? Can we give Him back a little bit? I don't know what 10% of 24 hours is. I guess it'd be 2.4 hours. He's not asking us for that. We need to do this so that we can walk within 24 and 7, but often we make excuses. Maybe you say, well, I don't have the faith to have that full surrender. My faith is little, it's weak, I get banged around a lot in my life, and I want my faith to grow. Well, why don't you say something like this to the Lord? Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I'm of such little faith, but I've got the faith of a mustard seed. Increase my faith. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll probably be making this a two-part message. How does Paul describe surrender? How does Paul describe surrender? We have it all over the place, but this is one of the passages. Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Now let's stop and meditate. We just read those words, but let's meditate on those words. Now, if we be what with Christ? Dead. How did Christ die? How did He die? Crucifixion. So death with Christ, that means we are to be like Christ was to the world when He was crucified. He was despised, He was dead to the world, and the world was dead to Him. Okay, verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, and in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, and this is the surrender here, reckon ye also yourselves to be, what? Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes you say, I don't feel like surrendering. And there's a lot of emphasis on joy and good feelings almost. It comes across that, you know, if you're really walking with God, you're just going to be happy all the time. And we even have songs about that. It's true in a sense, but it's also not true in a sense. It's what you're happy in. What are you happy in? It's not just that you're happy all the time, because, you know, when I get a new car, I'm happy. But when my car breaks down, I'm not happy. When I see the house is nice and kept and all that, it's great. And then when my wife calls me and says, I got 10 repairs for you to do, I'm not happy. You know? There's all kinds of things that make me unhappy. When you are nice to me, I'm happy. When you are not nice to me and inconsiderate, I'm not happy. And if I put my happiness on this earth, I'm going to be schizophrenic like most of the people in this world. And I'm going to need to go to Oprah and Dr. Phil and all the rest of them. Because, man, if I didn't have Christ, I would be in Oprah and I would be worshiping Dr. Phil, because I need something. Because God didn't make my heart to live in this world on my own strength. I can't. So we need to die to this world. That's how it Christ did. And we are to surrender ourselves, and I'm specifically speaking about our feelings, unto God. Because dead people don't feel anything, right? Now, we're not supposed to not feel anything. We're supposed to feel a whole lot to God. We're supposed to feel joy and peace and love, and that never goes away. But then, all these other feelings that you have in your flesh, what are you to do? You're to surrender those things to God. You're to reckon them as dead. So when someone disappoints you, and in your flesh you have thoughts that are not really in reality, they're usually overblown, you reckon yourself as dead and you replace that with the promises of God. and you put your mind on God, and you say, well, he told me he'd never leave me or forsake me, and I know that all these things that are happening unto me are because he loves me. He loves me, and this is planned by God before the foundation of the world, this disappointment, to make me stop trusting in man and trust more in God. That's what surrender looks like. That's surrender. Let's keep reading in verse 11 of Romans 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what he's talking about is these temptations to sin. And where do they come from? They come from your flesh and your mind. And they come from the world and the devil. So your flesh has passions, and the world is filled with temptations. So I would recommend that you are very careful on the internet and the television and any media that you have. You've got to be careful, because you're putting temptations, needless temptations, before your flesh. And then there's the temptations of Satan, the devil. Now, how do you get tempted by the devil? Now, here's something that the Lord has taught me in the time that I've been here. And you read this in Ephesians 4 and in 1 Corinthians 7. These are two specific ways that we give opportunity to the devil. Number one, if you're sinfully angry, then you give a place to Satan. If you lose control, you're giving opportunity for Satan to put all kinds of thoughts of bitterness in your heart. Have you been there? I have. We've all been there. Or 1 Corinthians 7 says that if a husband and wife relationship is not consistent and loving, if you're a married couple and you don't have that consistency in your marriage relationship, that intimacy, you know what it says? Satan will tempt you. That's what it says. So anytime that you sin, or by virtue of disobeying, or by not doing what you should do, by breaking a command, or by not fulfilling the obligations that God has put upon us, then you're giving an opportunity for the devil to tempt you. You're losing control of your mind and your heart, and you're giving control over to the wicked one's temptations. So, reckon yourself indeed dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. That's how you used to live. But you can't do that anymore. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your body parts. Your body parts are to be as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your feet. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're Christ's. He bought you. He paid for you. So, that's what we see in Shimei, the surrender. He comes to David and he says, forgive me. And he surrenders everything that he is to David. And that's what we're to do to the Lord. We're to surrender everything that we are to the Lord. And next week we'll talk about sacrifice with Mephibosheth, because we see Mephibosheth next in the chapter. And he welcomes the king back into the kingdom. How about you tonight? Have you strayed from Christ's kingdom, his reign in your life? Are you seeking other things first? Let's not just make those things cliches. Let's seek the Lord tonight urgently.